podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Don't Nearly View system, Diogo. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
With the new Chevy Silverado, you might be driving in this. But with the Silverado's redesigned interior and large infotainment screens, it'll feel more like this. Introducing the new 2022 Chevy Silverado. Find new upgrades. Find new roads. Chevrolet.
It's a point for Everton, somehow, some way, at Stamford Bridge. Managed to get over the line. Rafael Benitez set up a team of misfits and youngsters going to the European champions, and they've come away with a creditable and probably deserved 1-1 draw in the end, would you say, Mo, for the way in which they battled throughout that?
Yeah, I think Everton usually follow a pretty boring but predictable plot, which, negative as it has been recently, makes talking about them quite easy. Having watched what feels like one of the weirder Everton games of recent times, you know, it had that feel about it, didn't it? I think a lot of it was the pre-game story of obviously Leicester at the weekend being called off and other football matches being called off, and it kind of felt as though we were just kind of floating through the last 2 hours of life, and occasionally Everton passed the ball, which I appreciate only happened, what, 40 times in the first half. But I think it will bizarrely go down as one of those memorable games where I wouldn't quite reduce it to kind of dogs of war territory, which has been mentioned in recent weeks in terms of having to go very much back to basics. But it did have that sort of classic Everton backs to the wall against a top four side in the Premier League. And I think the only major shock really was that I think we all collectively assumed that as soon as we went 1-0 down tonight, that would be it. But fair play to them. They've managed to salvage something out of, I'm not even going to say nothing, because at times you looked at us and you thought we were pretty dangerous.
Yeah, I think it was a weird one, wasn't it? And you're right, the whole thing was just a bit surreal, because you're seeing lads there, you know, Ellis Sims, obviously, is the main example.
I've heard about these.
Brathwaite's another one, John Joe Kenny. And they are players who, you know, they're obviously all at various stages of the development. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of them might go on to have a career at Everton, some of them might not. But it's almost like, I forgot these lads existed. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, particularly when it comes to Brathwaite and Sims, we don't really know much about them as a player yet. So you sort of, while we've been going into games over the last few weeks, not knowing what to expect, it was a bit like, well, you know, what have you got, Jared Brathwaite? What have you got, John Joe Kenny? What have you got, Ellis Sims? And the same for Lewis Dobbin when he came on as well. And, you know, all of them, in fairness, all of those youngsters, I think it's probably a good place to start. You know, could have been daunted there. There's been a lot of buzz around the team recently. A lot of talk about them potentially coming in and making an impact. And if we're being honest, I think they were all thrown in there tonight on the proviso that we've got games coming up which we want to keep players fit for, we want to, you know, preserve legs for, and obviously some other issues going on with injuries. But, you know, going away to the European champions and standing up in the way in which they all did, I think is a great credit to them. And it's probably a reason why people have been saying, you know, let's see these lads off the bench at least. Not every start and every week in Everton's best 11, but, you know, give them an opportunity, because clearly they're doing something right at a youth level to be held in such high regard. And they all showed a bit of something tonight.
Yeah, I mean, as much as we want to see these names, and I think the predominant argument over recent weeks is that if we're going to be relatively poor, and if we're going to lose games, and if we're going to be one of those Premier League teams that we really don't want to be, then let's learn something while we do it. If nothing else tonight, we learn something about the young players that we've got. The young players absolutely learn something about not only themselves, but football at the absolute highest level. And the coaching staff learn things about what these players can offer to the squad. We know what we're going to see when these players come into the squad, and they're going to look raw, they're going to look a bit lost at times, which I think certainly Tyler Onyango, when he was asked to come on and just do something on the left-hand side tonight, he certainly looked a little bit like that. But they're going to make innocent, what on the face of it look like foolish mistakes, because they are quite simply at the start of their career. You look at someone like Ben Godfrey tonight, who, in my opinion, look a bit flat-footed and out of position, possibly for Chelsea's goal. Yes, he's been part of the senior setup for long enough now to know that that is not good enough, but we are still looking at someone like him who was realistically signed last year to provide some competition in the back four as being a seasoned pro in this squad now and being someone who has to carry young size like that through games. So as much as we accept those limitations that these players have, I think there was far more of the flip side tonight in terms of, in particular, the bright sparks from someone like Anthony Gordon, who I thought was one of Everton's best players tonight. Even you're looking at snippets of Lewis Dobbin in the last half hour, who was never really realistically going to get a meaningful kick of the ball, but just gave you those glimmers of intelligence when he did get an opportunity to play a pass.
He just unsettled him a bit, didn't he, with his movements?
The occasional runs inside the lines of the 18-yard box where you just thought, you know what, if Everton had a cultured attacking midfielder who was capable of picking passes, and he wasn't the only one to get in good positions. We saw people like Abdoulaye Doucouré willing to break the lines in a game where realistically you wouldn't necessarily expect Everton midfielders to do that. And as much as that very much nearly led to our downfall with the way that we gave away Chelsea's goal, you want to see your players, both young and old, being a little bit ambitious in these games. What I liked about tonight is that as much as we weren't able to capitalise on it at exactly the right time, there were spells in that second half where you thought, We can smell opportunity. Yeah. And Chelsea look like a team who had inherent levels of hesitation about them. And I think that's something that Everton find very hard to instill in opposition teams. Mm. We always find a way to let teams off the hook. I didn't want the game to look like that. I wanted it to be one where we nicked a goal on 70 minutes and then managed to ride it out. But I think all credit to everyone in the side, but in particular just the sheer character of everyone to not only get yourselves back into the game, but not press the Everton button in the last 10 minutes and totally crap our pants in a situation where you'd absolutely expect us to.
Yeah, it was mad because, you know, we were sort of sat here saying if Chelsea score with the options we've got and the players on the bench, it's going to be really impossible for us to get back in. But, you know, their goal ultimately comes from Everton being a bit more ambitious. And there were a couple of times before that where Everton were ambitious and tried to get forward. Godfrey had a great run where he turned into a wing and cut inside, didn't he? And, you know, was close to getting a finger Wobey in on goal. And then, but I think what was interesting was that because obviously our squad were down to the bare bones, but I think they had a few players out certainly in attack in the midfield who they'd usually call upon who weren't available. I mean, listen, the players they've got on the bench are ridiculous, but I think because it was just fringe players on the bench and, you know, both teams had two goalies on there, when it went 1-0, the game didn't really change because it couldn't, because you know, the personnel were practically the same, weren't they? And the same things that were happening for us before we scored, you know, just kept on happening. We kept getting opportunities on the counter-attack. You know, Gordon was carrying the ball and was posing a threat all the way through, and ultimately that's where the free kick comes from. And I think a large part of that, you know, obviously the midfielders and the forwards used the ball better tonight than they did against Crystal Palace and were able to get out that way. But I think Branthwaite, and obviously coming on to talk about his defensive play and his goal, but in particular I think just on the ball, his composure, just for a young lad, and you know, we shouldn't be saying this about a lad who's, what, 19 years old still? Yeah. You know, making his first start of the season, when we were penned in and when we were under pressure and when Chelsea were seemingly battering the door down. You know, go back to Palace at the weekend and look at when Everton are under pressure, the decisions that people like Seamus Coleman and Mason Hoggett made in that game. Mm-hmm. Whereas in this game, Branthwaite, there are only little moments here and there, and it nearly got him into trouble actually at the end when he stepped out with the ball. But just that ability to think, right, I'm not just going to lash this forward, I'm going to play a pass into midfield, I'm going to carry it myself a little bit, I'm going to take that extra touch just to calm things down, even though I'm under a bit of pressure. Mm. And that just sort of seemed to be, it wasn't the outlet, but it was the step towards the outlet, if you know what I mean. But he was excellent all around, wasn't he? And his goal was just, you know, the cherry on top, really, of a great performance for him and a fine finish as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're talking about, you referenced the Crystal Palace game there and the fact that senior pros weren't able to behave like that, but different echelons of quality tonight, isn't there? Yeah. And I appreciate that they've got players missing, and I think you're right in that, you know what, if it is 1-0 and they've got players available, maybe someone like a Mount or a Ziyech isn't playing at the start, and they come on and you know, expand the game to the point where it's beyond Everton. But how many of these situations have we had where we've had no one to bring on? So, you know what, ride the wave while we're on it. Branthwaite, probably the pick of the bunch of those lads, but probably does a little bit of disservice to Anthony Gordon, who, ironically, you're watching games like tonight whereby, yeah, we've obviously seen far too many Everton players whose squad number's over 50. but that does make you look at Anthony Gordon in a slightly more productive and a slightly more mature way than we would have done 6 weeks ago. And that's credit to the way he carries himself on the pitch. I think there are times where you watch him and you see a willful and, you know, an ambitious player at times, but it's all a bit too plucky and all a little bit too just thrown together. Mm. And I think tonight it was a really intelligent performance from what you need from a wide midfielder in a game like that, whereby, do you know what, I need you to go down early every now and again. I need you to be clever. I need you to retain the ball. And you need to be really effective when you do get into opportunities, whereby when you saw him in the 18-yard box just after we pulled the goal back tonight, and he's running at whoever the right of the three was at the back of Chelsea, but that's exactly where you need that lad, isn't it? Preying on hesitation and weakness in the defensive line. And I think he was absolutely fantastic tonight. And he's probably at that point, it's probably the first game I've watched him and thought, you absolutely need to be part of the next game in 4 months' time or whatever that is. But on that point, I think the worst spells, and Godfrey was probably the best example of this tonight, whereby we just look like a team who need a couple of weeks off.
Yeah.
You probably would have said that before tonight, purely from a mental point of view, just because it feels like everything that's ever happened to a football team has happened in the last few months. But I think physically tonight, it was always going to be one of those games, regardless of personnel. But that was probably the opportunity for Chelsea was always going to come from a bit of fatigue in our lineup tonight, wasn't it? But I think even the lads who came on, even to a point where you bring someone like Gbamon on, and again, you're never going to see the best of a player like that, who we are told likes to be on the ball and, you know, control the play from the middle of the park. Sometimes, to be really reductive, you just need players to come on and run the bollocks off. And I think, to a man, everyone who started and came on tonight was a credit and absolutely did that.
Yeah, and I think Gordon, you know, I think that moment you bring up there in regards to when he got in down the left-hand side, I think that's where he needs to get to, isn't it, in his work on the ball. You know, when he got the ball there and drove whoever, you know, Ed Chalobah, sorry, it was, he was in that position, he looked like a confident player on the ball and at ease doing that. But it was sometimes you see him when things maybe aren't going well, he's not particularly having a good game, he's a bit hesitant, he takes a bit too many touches, he doesn't drive forward as much. But I think that's absolutely the level he needs to get to from that point of view. But just on a couple of the senior players who stood out as well, I think Michael Keane for the last 20 minutes, you know, unbelievable, you know, in that spell where Everton were trying to get the backs to the wall and get over the line with a point, he was just there for everything, and I don't think there's ever going to be an issue with him playing in a back three and in that setup. But Jordan Pickford as well, Moses, outstanding. And you know, I think if you're going to look back over the carnage of what has been a pretty miserable year for Everton, truth be told, you know, who knows, that might be the last game of this year in the Premier League with the way things are going. Who's knowing? But probably quite fitting in a way that he's the player who stood out tonight and has probably been Everton's most consistent player over the course of the last 12 months.
Yeah, I think that in particular the saves from Thiago Silva and the one from Mason Mount in the first half, they are opportunities for this game to totally run away with us, aren't they? I mean, if Mount scores in a first half where Everton have completed, what, 45 passes, then we are quite simply not even anywhere near as jubilant as we are with a point. But that's just the nature of how our season's been over the last few weeks. But yeah, I think he was absolutely fantastic. And, you know, the shot-stopping potential of that lad has never really been in doubt. You know, I know there's been a couple of horror shows that have probably happened at a time where his confidence was at its lowest. But you do slowly see that creeping back in now. I mentioned confidence, but you probably look back at the last 2 years, and if you asked him, he'd probably very he'd honestly answer that it's never really left him. It's just at times, purely from a technical point of view, his actual goalkeeping has not been up to scratch. But the thing I like about tonight was the same things we said about Gordon in terms of just managing small moments of the game and just having that little bit of maturity. Do you know what? It might be feigning a dead leg or a calf injury at the end, or
a
just
little stretch at the end was magnificent.
Exactly,
wasn't it?
Yeah. Anything that will take, you know, the punch to stop a corner, which I know seems really minimalist to talk about as a progressive move from a goalkeeper, but they are the exact moments where he manages to channel his inner lunatic at times and give a corner away or punch it back into the 18-yard box. And I'm not going to sit here and absolutely heap praise on him for doing the basics correctly, but that's exactly what we've craved from a goalkeeper for the last few years now, in the times where he's looked a little bit unchained at times. Michael Keane just wants every football match to look like it did tonight.
That's his bread and butter, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think he probably struggles if you do throw a Havertz in at some point in the game, or if he starts, and as we've said, you are able to bring sort of trickier and quicker players on later.
Someone
on.
Like Werner would have been a nightmare against him tonight, and
no doubt he'd have missed when he got in on goal. But he's exactly the type of player who'd cause him problems, but there were times in the game where I thought Chelsea looked really strong on the flanks, in particular in the first half. But with every coming cross that came into the box, and with Michael Keane's dominance in the second half, you found yourself watching the game almost willing the ball out wide. Yeah. If Chelsea wanted to put early crosses into the box, if it wasn't Branthwaite blocking it as the ball came in from our left-hand side, Michael Keane would clear it up in the middle. And yeah, you can talk about, you know, Chelsea not having someone like Lukaku to put quite as strong a challenge in as we'd ordinarily face. But I think all credit to Keane. And what I liked about all three of those back three tonight is that when the ball did drop at their feet and they were afforded 1 or 2 seconds on the ball, yeah, it got a little bit like this towards the end, but it wasn't always just the aimless lump forward. It was trying to find Gordon out on the left. It was trying to find Doucouré through the middle. And there were times, genuinely, even going back to the end of the first half, where Doucouré would stride out of that midfield with the ball, and you thought, we are Richarlison away here from causing real issues. Dobbin offered a little bit more of that in the second half with a little bit of mobility. Clearly, the endeavour is always going to be there from those younger players, but he looks like someone who's got bags and bags of not only pace, but like intelligent pace as well. Knows when to press, knows when to find good spaces. And as I say, we were probably just a couple of gifted midfielders away from getting him in on goal. But it's just nice to reflect on a performance where, do you know what, we haven't moved mountains in terms of trying to identify a blueprint to what Everton are going to be like or what Rafael Benitez's team is meant to look like. But sometimes you need to just go out and grind results out. And it's nice, you know, the last 5 minutes were always going to be like that. But there was a level of assuredness in that team tonight that I've not had in vastly more senior Everton sides in recent weeks. And it's nice now that we can probably, you know, what, come back in what's it going to be, 2 or 3 weeks. We'll hopefully have a few more senior players together, but I'll no longer look at the bench and look at some of those names who played tonight and think, you're making up the numbers.
Yeah.
Because they I think every young player needs that one game. And I'm not saying it was totally transformative for every single one of them tonight, but every one of them will look back at that and think, do you remember when we put that really good shift in? Me and all the other young lads who we've all come through with.
This can't be for Jarrod Branthwaite what Chelsea away for Benny Beningham he was 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Where, you know, there was a young lad who showed promise in a bit of a, you know, team. I think we got beat that night, didn't we, 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone came away going, you know, not ideal, not the best performance in the world. Obviously, tonight was better, but, you know, what, you know, he played well, that young lad, and all of a sudden you sat there in 4 years' time going, what happened to him? You know, he looked really good in that game against a really good side, and that's how it's got to be for players like Branthwaite and Dobbin and Onyango going forward, isn't it? You know, this has got to be something to build on now. And listen, maybe when all these players are back in a few weeks, the manager might just bin them all off again, but I think that's a really important point to stress, like you said there. You know, if Lewis Dobbin could come on against, for the last 30 minutes against Chelsea, against the back three of Thiago Silva, Azpilicueta, and Antonio Rudiger, and cause problems and, you know, knock them about a little bit, then there's no reason why he can't do it in some other games as well.
As much as that's down to each each individual player that we've mentioned in terms of, you know, young players coming through and taking their opportunity. I think majorly it just needs the bravery from the coaching staff and in particular the manager to be able to do that. I get that tonight is more necessity than desire really in terms of throwing these lads in, but they can only do so much on a training pitch. They need to be seasoned in 90 minutes of Premier League football, and we've seen that Anthony Gordon is the epitome of that, whereby 6 weeks ago we're talking about a lad who looks like he's properly flagging after 50 minutes of football. I know we got to that stage tonight to the point where we had to hook him off, but there needs to be a faith and there needs to be a culture at Everton whereby this becomes one of those teams again whereby you are afforded opportunities at 17, 18 years old with the view to the fact that when you get to 21 and 22, you'll have 4 years of actual meaningful football behind you. Joe, I think we're all ready to not send players out consistently on loan for 4 or 5 years, give them the Matty Pennington treatment and then never see them ever again. As much as we don't want our starting 11 to look like this every single week, there has to be that setup whereby all of these young players are not simply the lads who wear the bibs in training. Mm. There has to be a point behind our entire youth setup, and we've said that for not only the last few weeks because it's been brought to the limelight, but for the last few years as well. So it's obviously it's fantastic to get them in, but as you say, there's plenty of precedent here to show that we are capable of wasting lessons that we've learned tonight. So I hope, and I think if Premier League football is to continue for the next few weeks, the redeeming thing that we should be looking back on at the end of January is that we've got two or three lads who we look at as being really part of the key first team setup.
Yeah, and just to sort of wrap it up, obviously before the game tonight, there was banners in the stadium saying mm-hmm. Benitez to go. One say sack the board as well, but you know, on the manager, he's had a lot of grief recently, mate, and I think, you know, obviously rightly so for some of the performances and the approach certainly at Palace at the weekend. But you know, when Benitez came in and we were trying to get on board with the idea of him, it's those sort of nights and those sort of performances you have in mind, wasn't it? You know, that is the most organised Everton have looked in any game of football defensively all season. Mm-hmm. You could probably say against a quality opposition, and you know, they've had what, 4 days to prepare for that. You know, they would have had Monday off, they put what, 3 days on the training pitch, if that. You know, they come down to London today. I don't know if it's just sort of cobbled together and worked, or whether it's been drilling on the training pitch, but whatever he did tonight and whatever he said to those players, and you know, whatever happened in the build up to it, to come away with any kind of result there with that side, I think he deserves it. You know, listen, long way back still, of course. That is what you should be getting from Rafael Benitez. You should be getting that base level in away games, but obviously you want to see a little bit more in some other games as well.
That's exactly the thing that we said after the Watford game, wasn't it, in terms of what we'd bought into here in terms of, you know, structure and defensive shape and everything that we've said Rafael Benitez as Everton should look like. We weren't getting. And we've got that tonight. Do you know, we're not gonna sit here and flippantly change our mind about the manager on a game by game basis, because we've all collectively agreed that this was not right at the start, and for the vast majority of the time, it's not looked right anyway. But I'm getting to the point now where, in particular, on the back of Benitez's interview this week, where I very much believe him when he says that he spoke to Mascheri and he's got the full backing. Yes, there's been examples of that in the past where Mascheri's fired someone 2 weeks later, but there does seem to be that thing about Benitez where he's convincing to the point where I think Mascheri and Bill Kenwright are accepting of the fact that there has to be someone who comes in and kind of rides the horrible wave. You know, all the thing that Benitez has said about there's problems that are existing in this football club that cannot be solved in 5 or 6 months' time. And that's not me kicking back here and saying, you know what, this is absolutely the right thing to do, but if it's not the ideal of what consistency should look like for Everton, but it is the only form of consistency that we've got on offer to us at the moment. The sheer chaotic nature of the season may well lend its hand to Everton here in terms of no one really being able to get a foothold and pull away from us. And you know, I don't even know what pulling away from Everton looks like at the moment, because right now we don't really know what our aim is at the moment. So I think we're all still very much looking down and up, but they're certainly the performances that, as an Evertonian, regardless of the manager, you can buy into, isn't it? It's all of the intangible things that Everton, historically, when the football quality hasn't been there, we've been able to tap into, and it's got us results, but it's also gathered us some affinity with the fans as well. And, you know, so much has gone on recently between the fans, the board even, the players. There's been so much moody air around the football club. And just to see the lads going over at the end tonight, 3,000 brave and mindless Evertonians who've gone down to London Thursday night.
If you're listening to this on your way back tonight, get yourself a can. Obviously, unless you're driving. Get yourself a can, get yourself a gin or whatever. You know, fair fucks to you going down there tonight.
But it looked like a release for the players, didn't it? Yeah, you know, people
like... Because you can see, we've got the screen in front of us here, and the picture of Branthwaite celebrating with the players, you know, they're the best ones, aren't they? You
small
know?
Things like Jordan Pickford legging over and lashing his shirt in the crowd, and not looking like all the players are terrified to go within 40 yards of the away end. It's what Everton has to look like at the moment. We want to see a team who goes and puts, you know, emphatic technical displays on, but quite honestly at the moment, if we want to prove that we're capable of being one of those teams who is knocking on the door of Europe and not looking over our shoulder at Wolves and Brentford and whoever may be behind us. Wolves are ahead of us, can't even believe that. But that you have to earn the right to be able to do these things, especially when you haven't got the players available to be expansive and to be the type of football team that you need. It's nice to watch an Everton performance and just think, I'm happy to be a part of this.
Yeah, and for the first time in a while, watching some of those young players, you're thinking, you know, there's something there in the future to potentially get behind and get excited about. But now we will leave it there. Who knows what our next instant reaction is going to be, of course, as Miller said. Leicester is postponed on Sunday. Fingers crossed, things get back to normal again soon. But obviously, in the meantime, tomorrow I'll be back with Blue Room Breakfast. All the usual stuff over and going into the weekend and into next week when we've got Burnley on Boxing Day, potentially. So we'll see how that goes. But that's been it for tonight. Great point for the Blues. Great performance from those young lads. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday night and your weekend. And we'll speak to you again very soon here on the Blue Room.
With the new Chevy Silverado, you might be driving in this. But with the Silverado's redesigned interior and large infotainment screens, it'll feel more like this. Introducing the new 2022 Chevy Silverado. Find new upgrades. Find new roads. Chevrolet.
Sports Social Podcast Network.